Parshas Bahar, we will discuss a little bit later an idea of Parshas Bahar, and then, of course, today with Lag BaOmer, an opportunity to reflect on the idea, one of the ideas of the Yemei HaOmer. Parshas Bahar, as we know, begins with the mitzvah of Shemitah. Shemitah is a much discussed mitzvah in the Rishonim, in the Meforshei HaTorah. What exactly is it that we're supposed to learn? What is it that we're supposed to derive from the mitzvah of Shemitah? And many of the Meforshei HaTorah suggest different explanations. But this year, and we've discussed some of them in the past, but this year, let's focus on the approach of the Kli Yakar. Of the Kli Yakar. The Kli Yakar says, and he quotes others who preceded him, and he explains why he rejects their approach. And then he says, Oimer ani. He says, I would say that the reason behind the mitzvah of Shemitah is lahashrish, to enroot in Klal Yisrael the midah of bitochin and emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's his introduction. Now the truth is, many of the Mefarshim go along this route. The yisod of Shemitah is all about emunah in bitochin, but Kachi, Darkei, Shalteira, each one says it with their flavor, with their twist. So let's learn the Kli Yakar and see how he says it. And he explains as follows. We mustn't forget that Klal Yisrael were living, at the time, a supernatural existence in the Midbar. Nobody worked, nobody plowed the land, nobody went to their office. Food literally rained down from them, ran down on them from heaven. They had a constant water supply, their clothes were taken care of, everything was just fine and dandy. They were on the brink of entering Eretz Yisrael, where everything was about to change. When they would enter Eretz Yisrael, they would be expected there to work the land. There therefore, explains the Kli Yakar, existed a terrible, grave danger that for the first time they would be involved, as it were, in generating their own parnasa, having to work the land and to grow tzvuah, in which case you're running a terrible danger of a big pat on the back saying it's all me. Koichi va'itzem yadi osa li es ha'chayel hazeh. There was absolutely no chashash, obviously, in the midbar of anybody even thinking, entertaining such a possibility. You see mon raining down from the shemayim. You see water pouring down from the rock. You're surrounded by the Anani HaKavod. You see the Ribbono Shel Olam wherever you look. Come, Eretz Yisrael, all of this is about to change. There now exists a very real threat of Klal Yisrael perhaps thinking, it's all me. I work the land, and I plow the land, and I sow the land, and I reap the land, and I, and it's all me. Osarias HaKaya HaZeh, who did all of this? Koichi Va'itzim Yadi. The Yachshavu, says the Kli Yakar, they're going to think, Sheha'aretz Shelohemu. So who does Eretz Yisrael belong to? It's all me. I'm the boss. Vehem Habayim. They're in charge. So what does the HaKadosh Baruch Hu say? HaKadosh Baruch Hu preempts this. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, when you enter Eretz Yisrael, there's going to be a mitzvah called Shemitah. And I'm going to show you that Shemitah is a way of running the land in supernatural way. Why? So he explains. He says, normally, the way is that you would work the land, and then you'd leave the land fallow for a year. That's true. That's a very, very common phenomenon right across the world. What happens in that 1 year that you leave it fallow? The answer is nothing at all. You haven't planted anything, you haven't grown anything. And here, all of a sudden, the exact opposite happens. In the very year that you're told not to work, that's when you suddenly have 300% increase in output. That's what it says. Whoever keeps Shemitah, the TVCS Burakasi, I will instruct my bracha, I'll have enough for this year and 2 years afterwards. So all of a sudden, as the Kli Yakar writes, there is a nes b'toich nes. a miracle within a miracle. Not only does the land not get overgrown, and it in fact grows produce, but it grows enough for 3 years, a double whammy miracle. All of that is in order to remind Klal Yisrael, don't forget who's the real boss. Have continued bitochen in HaKadosh Baruch Hu and not, chas v'shalom, in yourselves. That's why the mitzvah of Shemitah was so crucial upon entry in Eretz Yisrael. That's how he explains. So in summary, the mitzvah of Shemitah is a way of running the land in a supernatural way. Instead of working it and then giving it a break so that it shouldn't produce, to the contrary, in the very year that you worked least, or in fact didn't work at all, you had an enormous increase in output, and that was a clear demonstration that actually this is nothing to do with you, and it's all HaKadosh Baruch Hu pulling the strings like it always was. Perhaps you see it less in Eretz Yisrael than you did in the Midbar, but nonetheless you need this reminder to indeed remind you that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is pulling the strings, none the same. Now, when I saw this in the Kliyoka, and in a minute we'll see how the Kliyoka concludes, I was reminded of a pasuk that we read not so long ago. In the parasha of Tzaraas, as we know, Tzaraas can hit the person's goof, the person's clothes, or the person's house. The lashon of the pasuk is, Ki sovoyu el eretz kenaan asher ani neisen lochem. When you will enter Eretz Yisrael, that I will give you. V'nosati nega Tzaraas, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says there will be occasions when I will inflict the house with Tzaraas. So I once saw that Reb Issa Zalman Meltzer explained, why must the pasuk say, when you will come to Eretz Yisrael, asher ani nosein lochem la'achuzah, that I am giving for you as inheritance. Why must you have that such lengthy introduction? Why can't it say, you'll enter Eretz Yisrael and you'll have Tzaraas? What are those words in the middle of the pasuk where it says, that I am giving you for an achuzah? Why must that be mentioned? So Reb Issa Zalman Meltzer explained, why does Tzaraas come? Because of Lashon Hara. The Gemara says, the root of Lashon Hara is as a result of Gaiva. The person is haughty, and therefore he thinks he can talk about everybody else, and everybody else is inferior to him. In the Midbar, there was very little hashash of Gaiva. What was there to flaunt? What was there to be haughty about? You did nothing. Everything just dropped on your head, minashamayim. You didn't own anything, you didn't have a field, you didn't have a house, you didn't have produce, you had nothing. Come, there's Yisrael, oh, I have a nachalah, I have a bayis. Now suddenly, Klal Yisrael were running the risk of becoming Balei Gaiva and warranting Tzaraas. So what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu say? When you come into Eretz Yisrael, Asher ani nosein lochem la'achuzah, that I am giving you. Don't forget where this property comes from. Don't all of a sudden go from rags to riches and become a Baal Gaiva as a result. Asher ani nosein lochem la'achuzah, that I am giving you. Don't forget that, because if you do, you'll end up with Tzaraas. The Rashbam, in last week's Sedra, in Parshas Emor, says, when do we have the mitzvah of Sukkot? Sukkot, as we know, is called the Chag Ha'osif. Is that coincidental? Says the Rashbam, it's not coincidental at all. What is Chag Ha'osif? It's that time of year that you go into the field and you harvest everything that you've been working hard for and looking forward to for the best part of the year. So what is the big chashash? Again, look what I've done. Look what I've produced. It's all me. It's all mine. So what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu say? Precisely at this time of year, please leave your house and enter a Diras Arai. You don't own anything. Exactly at this time, when you're running the risk of thinking, or being tempted to think, Koichi v'oitzim yodi osaliya sachayel hazeh, that's the time of year that you have to leave your house. The
Chazal tell us that when is the most auspicious time for it to rain? Friday night, Shabbos. So I saw once that maybe that's the inyan. The one day of the week where you're not involved in the Sodeh, that's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends the bracha. Just to remind you who's really the boss. The one day that I'm not involved, I'm at home. I'm not involved in the field. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, yeah, this is where I step in. So that you have no hava mina whatsoever who's running the show, HaKadosh Baruch Hu clearly shows us who indeed is running the show. So back to our story. The Kliyoka says that's what the midah, that's what the whole Indian, the mitzvah of Shmita is all about. Because there was this risk of entering Eretz Yisrael, working the land, thinking that we are producing, we are the ones who are coming up with the tzvua, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a reminder, no, there's going to be a system called Shmita, you're going to not work the land at all, and you're going to see this terrific result. It's a clear reminder of who's the boss. Says the Kliyoka in conclusion, and what happens if you don't keep the mitzvah of Shmita? What does Chazal say? Says, and for the sin of not keeping Shmita, Kali Chol gets sent into Golos. The Kiyaka himself explains, yes, it's fully deserved, because if you don't have Emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then you don't deserve to live in the land of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is Eretz Yisrael. But I've seen others explain very beautifully. Shmita is what? Shmita, as we've just said, is a reminder that HaKadosh Baruch Hu supersedes Teva and he's running the show. Al pi darkei Teva, if you leave a field empty, it doesn't produce 300% yield. So Shmita is a clear reminder that what? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is transcending Teva. There is another way that we see HaKadosh Baruch Hu clearly transcends Teva. And where is that? The very fact that we're surrounded by Goyim, and we're still here today to tell our tale. Al pi darkei Teva, we're completely outnumbered and outgunned, and yet we're still here. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, if you're not prepared to keep Shmita, what are you trying to demonstrate? That you don't really believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I'm worried, I can't possibly leave the field fallow, I better work it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is guaranteed you're going to get a bracha. We don't believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu? No, I better take care of myself. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you want to take care of yourself? Bakasha. In Golos, please. Surrounded by Goyim. Let's see how you take care of yourself there. Nidah keneged nidah. And in fact, the very first Rashi in all of the Torah, famous Rashi, how does Rashi begin? Bereshit bara Elohim. What does Rashi say? Why does the Torah begin with Bereshit bara Elohim? The answer is because the Goyim will come along and they'll say that Eretz Yisrael belongs to us. The Torah, right from the outset, says, one second, Bereshit bara Elohim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the land, and he created the world, so he can allocate it to whoever wants. And he wants Klal Yisrael to have it. Meaning that what? The Goyim would love to set claim to Eretz Yisrael. And what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu say? No. I created it, I'm the one who distributes it to Klal Yisrael. Oh. If you believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running the show. But if you don't believe in the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, because you're not prepared to keep the mitzvah of Shmita, so what are you clearly showing? I'm not really confident in the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. Well, then all the Goyim can come back and take Eretz Yisrael. Your only zechus to have Eretz Yisrael is your firm belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he created the world and he runs the world, and he says you can have Eretz Yisrael. You don't believe that? So then the Goyim has every right. Kol HaKoyim Zoch. So that is therefore, in the opinion of the Kliyoka, the idea of Mitzvah of Shmita. As we mentioned before, many of the Mepharshim say that it's based on the inyan of Emunah and Bitochen. But the way specifically the Kliyoka explains is because, as we mentioned, you come to Eretz Yisrael and you run the risk of, as it were, forgetting that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running our life. So we need a gentle reminder to have Emunah and Bitochen and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That gentle reminder is called the Mitzvah of Shmita. Now we are two-thirds away through the Yemei HaOmer. We're in the final third now. Of course, today was Lag HaOmer, and therefore it's a time, maybe just very briefly, to reflect on one of the ideas of the Yemei HaOmer. It is, of course, well known, the Gemara in Yevamos tells us that Rabbi Akiva had 12,000 pairs of Talmidim, 24,000 Talmidim, who all died between the period of Pesach and Shavuos for the Aveira of not being noyed covered Zeruzah. As we know, therefore, Shulchan Aruch says that this is a time of Avelus, a time of Avelus. Until today, we didn't take a haircut, we didn't get involved in Chasanas and other Isurim. And the question that needs to be addressed is, unfortunately, in our long and difficult and painful history, Klal Yisrael has endured several tzaris of enormous proportions. So why is it that this particular tragedy, undoubtedly it's a tragedy, 24,000 Talmidei Chachamim die in a short period of time, undoubtedly it's a tragedy. But why is it that this is singled out for a Zman of Avelus forever for all of Klal Yisrael? Avelus, as we know, Rachmanu Litzlan, somebody loses a parent. We don't suddenly say, that's it, all of Klal Yisrael have to be in Avelus. It's for the children only. It's for a specific time. Here we have a period of Avelus for all of Klal Yisrael, men, women, children, for how long? Forever. Until today, Tovshin Ayin Ches. So I'd like to share with you an approach that I saw this year in a sefer that I have at home. The sefer is called Mishnas Chaim, from a very choshev Talmud Chochma B'nei Brak, Rav Chaim Steinberg, and he writes and he suggests the following very insightful approach. The Gemara tells us that the great Tana Rav Elazar was ill, seriously ill, and Rav Akiva, who was one of his prime Talmidim, came to visit him. They walked in, the Gemara tells us, and Rav Elazar says to them, why did you come? So they say to him, why did we come? Lilmoid Torah Bonu. We've come to learn Torah from the Rebbe. The Rebbe's very ill. Who's to say how long we're still going to be able to be the beneficiaries of Rav Elazar's Torah? We want to learn Torah. Said Rav Elazar to them very, very sharply, and until now, where were you? Va'ad achshav lomoloi basem. Said, we didn't have time, they said to him. We didn't have time. So he said to them, well, if that's the case, you will all die Misa Mushuna. You'll all die unnatural death. So Rabbi Akiva said to his Rebbe Rav Elazar, and what about me? He said to him, what about you? Shalcha kosher mishalahem. Yours will be the worst of the lot. And as we know, it was. Rabbi Akiva died as one of the Asara HaRegei Malchus. We commemorate this, of course, both on Tisha B'Av and on Yom Kippur. Rabbi Akiva died, indeed, a tragic death by all description. So, why was he singled out? Yours will be worse than all of the others. Why? So Rashi says, because Mipnei Shelibcha, your heart is open like an ulam. What's an ulam? A hall. You have an enormous heart. And if you would have been mashamish me more, says Rabbi Elazar to his Talmud Rabbi Akiva, ha'yisa lomad Torah harba. You would have learnt more Torah. You have an enormous heart, open, a listening ear. If you would have been with me for more, you would have learnt more Torah from me. And you didn't, and that's why you're going to die a terrible death. It's very hard to understand. We all know the story in the Gemara, in Adarim. Who did Rabbi Akiva marry? He marries Rachel, the daughter of Kalba Savua, one of the wealthiest men in Klal Yisrael. The Gemara tells us that she said to him, after he got married, I want him to go and learn. So he went to learn. Who did he learn with? The Gemara says he went to learn for 12 years with Rabbi Elazar. 12 straight years, didn't come home. 12 years he went to learn under the guidance of Rabbi Eliezer. We know how the story continues. He comes back home,
He's about to enter the tent. He hears his wife saying to her father, if only my husband would go for another 12 years, I'd be more than happy. So he went back another 12 years. 24 years. A quarter of a century almost, learning under the guidance of Rabbi Elazar. So he finally comes to visit Rabbi Elazar as an elderly old man. What does Rabbi Elazar say? If only you would have been mishamish me more, you would have learnt more Torah. And because you didn't, that's it, you're going to die a terrible death. 24 years he was with him. That's not enough. Quarter of a century, 2.5 decades, 24 years. The Gemara tells us an incredible thing. Moshe Rabbeinu goes up to Shemayim for 40 days, and he sees HaKadosh Baruch Hu writing Tagim. What's Tagim? As we know, on the top of the letters in the Sefer Torah, they're crowns. They're crowns on the letters. And Moshe Rabbeinu says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what are these Tagim? Why are there crowns on the letters? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, there's going to be a very great Jew one day, and his name is Rabbi Akiva. And Rabbi Akiva is going to be of such immense stature that he's going to be able to extrapolate halachas not just from the words of the Torah, but even from the crowns on top of the letters of the Torah. So Gemara says, Moshe Rabbeinu was completely bowled over. And Moshe Rabbeinu, in fact, asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if that's the case, why was I the one singled out to give Torah to Klal Yisrael, to be Rabbi Akiva, he's greater than me? Moshe Rabbeinu himself said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that to a certain degree, Rabbi Akiva was greater than him. Sounds incredible. Nobody else would be allowed to say it, but Moshe Rabbeinu himself said it. So, doesn't that therefore beg the question? Rabbi Akiva, 24 years, he learned with Rabbi Elazar. And he obviously reached phenomenal heights, greater than Moshe Rabbeinu. And what does Rabbi Elazar say to him? Because he didn't come a bit earlier to learn Torah from me, that's it. Terrible death. Why? Why? What did he do to deserve his death? The Rashi said, because had you been with me, you would have learned more Torah. 24 years is not enough, and look what he learned in these 24 years. He was darshing all the tagging on the Torah. No. Die a terrible death. So he explains in his Sefer, and this is the story that we want to share tonight. The Mishnah tells us a frightening thing. Mishnah, obviously. Hashaycheach dovor echod mimishnotoy mischayev benafshe. Literally translated, if somebody forgets one item of his learning, chayev misa. We don't want to hear this Mishnah. One item? That's what it says in the Mishnah. Somebody goes to Beis HaMedrash, comes to Beis Knesset Hagra, has a good morning today. He gets home, his wife says to him, what did you learn today? I can't remember everything. Oh, I hope you make it till tomorrow then. Mitzchayev benafshe, as they say, mitzchayev benafshe. What does it mean? So Rav Chaim Volozhin explains that it's not to be taken at face value. And the Brisker Rav explains this, very, very, very important he says. And he says, we know Torah was given to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu then transmitted it to his Talmud, Yeshua. And Yeshua to the Zakenim. And as the Kenim to Anshe Knesset Hagdola, and Anshe Knesset Hagdola, and as we know, as the Mishnah of it describes, there was a transmission of Torah, and at the time, of course, we know it was all Baal Peh, a transmission of Torah, until there came a time of Chasimas HaTalmud. What does Chasimas HaTalmud mean? The Gemara is now a closed book. There's no more volumes of Gemara being written. This is it. This is the Torah. This is Torah Shebaal Peh. It was transmitted and it was expounded on and it grew and eventually we had Talmud Bavli and then this is it. We cannot now add another Masechta to the Torah. We can understand the Torah, we can learn it more in depth than in Mechadosh Kedushin, but that's it. Torah is never going to grow, as it were, with more Gemara. So Chaim Volozhin says, and the Brisker Rav explains this, when it says in the Mishnah, whoever forgets something from their learning as Chayav Misa, it's only referring to that period when Torah was being transmitted, ish mipi ish, dor le dor. That's why it was so crucial. If somebody forgot one thing from his learning, what would that cause? A breakup in the transmission of Torah. That's why it's a chayav benafshe. That's why it's a sin which is of such enormous proportions, its magnitude, because magnified, because you're causing a breakup in the Messiah of Torah. That's how Reb Chaim Volozhin explains. Now, 1 second. I don't understand. All of the Tanoim presumably had more than one Talmud. Presumably they had several. Reb Akiva, for a start, had 24,000. So if one of the Talmidim forgets one item of learning, what are you going to say? That's it. You caused a breakup in the transmission of Torah. What do you mean, I caused the breakup? There's another 20,000 Talmidim who went to the same shul. So why can't they transmit the Torah? Yeah, but you forgot. Okay, if I would be the only Talmud, then I understand. If you're the only Talmud of Moshe Rabbeinu, the only Talmud of the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, and you forget one thing, you're causing up a breakup in transmission. But there were hundreds and thousands of Talmudim. My Rav Rabbi said, the answer is, and the Gemara tells us, you have Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. Who do we paskin like? We paskin like Beis Hillel. Why? Because there was a bas koil, a heavenly voice that the halacha is like Beis Hillel. What does that mean? That Beis Hillel is right and Beis Shammai is wrong? Chas b'shon. You know what the Gemara tells us? Eilu vo'eilu divrei Elohim chayim. They're both right. How can it be they're both right? If Beis Shammai says you're chayim and Beis Hillel says you're potter, how can they both be right? One of them's right, one of them's wrong. If Beis Shammai says Tomei and Beis Hillel says Toher, how can they both be right? The answer is they are both valid approaches in understanding the Torah. You could work out and extrapolate and reach Beis Shammai's conclusion, which is a perfectly valid approach, or Beis Hillel's approach. Now, we can't paskin like both. So the Bas Torah emerges and says, we paskin l'halocha like Beis Hillel. But who's right? They're both right. Every valid approach in Torah is the correct approach. There could be several. At the end of the day, we're going to have to now pass the halacha. That might well be true, but that doesn't chas v'shalom mean that everybody else's approach was wrong. So if one Talmid forgets something from his learning, he's causing a breakup in the transmission of Torah. Why? There's 20,000 other Talmidim who also heard the shir from the Rebbe. That's true. So they will transmit to the next door the way that they understood from the Rebbe. But they didn't understand necessarily the way that you understood from the Rebbe. So your transmission in Torah might well be very different to your fellow Talmud's transmission of Torah. And who's right? They're both right. Who's the halacha right? That's a different shayla. That's not our discussion. That's what it means. If a Talmud forgets one item of learning from his Rebbe, he indeed is causing a breakup in the transmission of Torah. Why? Because the way that he understood it might well be different to everybody else, and his approach is unique and correct. And if he missed that because he forgot it, he's causing a breakup in the Messiah's affairs. We now understand, therefore, what Rebbe Elazar was so upset about. Rebbe Elazar is ill. And Rebbe Akiva comes to him and says, why have you come to learn Torah? He says, where were you till now? Because you didn't come now, till now you're going to be punished with a terrible death. We said, Rebbe Akiva, 24 years he was with Rebbe Elazar. And he reached staggering heights. He darshaned halachas from the old Tage. And the answer is, yes, exactly. That's why there was such a taina on him. Precisely because you reached such great levels, had you been with your Rebbe Rebbe Elazar for a few more moments, then you would have gleaned extra Torah, and you therefore would have been charged with transmitting that to the next Torah, and now you missed out. What do you mean I missed out? I've got 24 years worth of Torah to transmit the Torah to the next Torah. That's true, but you missed out. Every item of Torah that you could have learned from your Rebbe and you didn't transmit. Why? Because you never learned it. You're going to be held accountable forevermore. As the Mishnah says, you're chayav misa.
So Rabbi Kiva was chayav misa.
So you can't ask, but surely he was so great. No. That's precisely why he was held accountable.
Rabbi Kiva, look what you achieved in 24 years. You reached staggering heights. Greater than Moshe Rabbeinu, you're able to darshan the tagin on the Torah.
Can you imagine what you would have reached had you been with your Rebbe for a few extra moments, an extra day, an extra week? So you're causing up a partial breakup in a transmission of Torah. That's precisely why you're Chayav Misa. That's why you're Chayav Misa.
So he says in this sefer, in conclusion, Rabbi Akiva had 24,000 Talmidim. They all died. What does the Gemara say? Ha'olam shomim.
Desolation. This is a tragedy of cataclysmic proportions.
What happened? Says Rabbi Akiva went and he got five more Talmidim. Who did he pick up?
None other than Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Shem ben Yechai, and Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua.
The Gemara tells us every Mishnah in Shas, which is anonymous, some Mishnah is at Rameh.
If you have a Sifri, it's anonymous, it's Rabbi Yehuda. If you have a Sifra, a Sifra. A Sifri is Rabbi Shimon.
That means most of our Mishnahs, most of our Sifri, Sifra, which is where all our Joshes came from, all the Talmudim of Rabbi Kiva. Which basically means
Rive of the Torah Shabal Peh, as we know it, comes from who?
Talmidei Rabbi Akiva. Now we can understand the tragedy that's gone on here. That's from five Talmidim. Can you imagine what Torah would look like if 24,000 Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva would have survived to transmit extra Torah? What our Torah would look like?
Rabbi Akiva is precisely the one who suffered so terribly from missing out a bit of Torah from the Rebbe.
He died a terrible misa.
He had 24,000 Talmidim who all would have understood the Torah of their Rebbe in their way, and that all would have been a valid approach in Torah.
Who would we have passed like Lalocha? It's a different Shaira. That's not our subject. Ayilu ba'ilu divrei lekim chayim. So when the Gemara says, Ha'olam shomen,
destruction, desolation, to an extent that was never repaired.
Five more Talmidim came along on the scene, but the 24,000 were irreplaceable.
Our Torah would have looked different.
Not just different, we would have more Torah.
We would have had infinitely more ways of connecting with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Our way of connecting with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is through the Gemara, is through Torah. There is no other way.
Torah is what it is. But can you imagine what it would have looked like had the 24,000 Talmidim Rabbi Akiva survived? The question could be asked,
but say that, but they were replaced with five others. Gedolei Olam, it's true!
But every single Talmud would have understood the Torah of their Rebbe in their way, would have translated it and expounded on it in their way and would have transmitted it forevermore. Our Torah would have looked different. That would have altered the whole course of civilization. Therefore we understand why it is. We ask.
There's been many stories in Klal Yisrael. And we don't find there's avelus on every single tragedy that has befallen Klal Yisrael.
The answer is, this tragedy is a churban hatayra. Not just, there were a lot of Talmidei Chachamim who died. These were tanoim. Our Torah would have looked very different. So precisely now,
this time of year when we're preparing for Shavuos and we look forward to Kabbalah HaTorah, this very period of Simcha essentially is tinged, if not eclipsed,
with the overwhelming feeling of what it might have been like, what Torah might well have looked like.
That, this Sefer Mishnah Chaim explains so profoundly, is the avelus of Yemei Ha'Omer. We have the Torah, we have the Maseiros HaTorah, and we're counting down 3 weeks to go. left 2.5 weeks to go. The Torah would have looked completely different. We would have had far, 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 far more mesechtas in Shas, far more ways of connecting with the Rabbeinu Shalom. It's true there were plenty of other Talmidim, but those Talmidim who died were irreplaceable. And that line of transmission of Torah was never again to be brought back. When the Gemara says, Ha'olam Shomim, that's it. Total desolation and destruction to an extent that was irreparable. That was never repaired. And that's the way he explains the Avelis of the Yemei Harim.